Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1994 film Interview with the Vampire, The Vampire Chronicles.
Franchising.
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
And 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement,
that is. In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget a lot of names.
And most importantly, have fun. Because this is just another
review
podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Interview with the Vampire, : The Vampire Chronicles? Or is that a semicolon?
I don't know.
That's a colon.
A colon. There's lots of colons in this movie.
there's a lot of subconscious, subliminal colon talk in this movie. This movie was put out in the world in 1994, directed by Neil Jordan, who also did The Crying Game. So
I know all there is to know about the... A bit of a underlying theme going on here with Neil Jordan, eh?
Quite possible. Stephen Ray, who was in The Crying Game, was also in this movie. Mm-hmm. So maybe he does a lot of Neil Jordan
movies. Oh, Stephen Ray. Stephen Ray, right.
He was one of the vampires. Yeah.
Like the vampire hiss.
So that's interesting that you can make your own sound effects, but also press a button to produce sound effects. So the audience won't know which is your sound effects. Oh, jeez.
Okay. All right. Which one is?
Okay, here we go. This is play along at home. Okay. Listen to a sound effect and see if it's Sean or the machine. Okay. Go. Okay. Was that the sound effect or Sean? Here we go. Next one. Okay. All right. Was that Sean or the sound effect? Email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com and let us know if the first one was Sean or the second one was Sean. Love to get those emails. Keep them coming, everybody. This movie was written by Anne Rice.
Did she write the screenplay for this too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she wrote the book and then she decided to read and write.
Right.
Yeah,
maybe it was a package deal. She was so hesitant on Tom Cruise.
Really?
Yeah, she did not want Tommy Boy.
She should have been hesitant on Brad Pitt instead.
Well, possibly.
I guess hindsight's 20/20, right?
I think Lestat is the bigger character.
Like, obviously.
And so it needed a certain personality, which she was worried that Tom Cruise wouldn't do. But when she saw the movie, she was so happy with Cruise's performance that she actually wrote him a letter of apology and was super like,
sorry,
stoked.
I doubted you, Tom.
So you're the best, Tom.
You're the best.
And the crowd cheered.
For Tom.
Unlike Stephen King, who I think hates like a lot of the movies that they make off his novels, Anne Rice enjoyed this one.
Right. He did like The Outsider though, didn't he?
He liked The Outsider and he liked the second...
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he liked the second Lord of the Rings. What's the hotel one with Jack Nicholson? I'm back, Johnny.
The Shining?
The Shining. So they did a sequel. With Ewan McGregor.
It's The Shiners.
So it's guys with big red hats that ride
and
small
black
bicycles.
Eyes.
Don't.
No, black eyes. Shiner.
Right. Okay.
What? Okay. What do you mean? Don't. What did you? Where did you think I was going?
I don't know. I said some very uncomfortable conversations with Shriners in the past, so I wasn't sure where we were going.
Oh, okay.
For more of uncomfortable conversations with Shriners, check out my other podcast.
Once I was a Shriner, and now no more.
Once I was the King of Spain,
a man who escaped Shrinery.
Now I eat humble pie. You know who's eating humble pie?
That guy.
Gian Gomeshi.
He's not in jail, is he?
I have no idea. He's probably just, his career's over.
I didn't know that he was Moxie Fruvis.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Know your Canadian history.
Bow, bow, beep, 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 beep.
The more you know.
All right, come on.
Canada history.
Who's in this movie, man?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
Louis. So this is 1994. So okay. The year before, he did True Romance in California.
The California you haven't seen that I talk about every now and then.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Not Californication, which I have previously gotten it screwed up with.
Right, the David Duchovny
movie. No, but David Duchovny is in California, the 93 movie with Brad Pitt.
Right, right. We've had this conversation.
We have, and we normally go around in circles on it.
So I'd really like to see California. Can you pick that movie?
Maybe, yeah, sure. We talk about it enough. Yeah,
because instead of Hereditary,
you're so scared to watch that movie.
I don't want to watch it.
I know you don't. I can't wait till I actually get to pick it.
So you've got all so another movie where Brad Pitt is kind of like, he's kind of like, he's beautiful. He's a nice.
Yeah.
He can hold the camera. He can say a line. He can meet his mark, but he's just kind of boring.
In this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to it later.
I
think he's horrible in this movie.
And River Runs Through It, he's kind of like all those kind of...
He's just eye candy.
He's just eye candy. Legends of the Fall, he's kind. Like, he's starting to become something. I wonder if they just saw True Romance and they're like... And they started to figure, well, this guy can do more than just look pretty. And then, of course, in like a year, he does Seven. And then the world changes.
Yeah.
You got Tom Cruise who plays Lestat.
Tommy boy, Maverick.
Year before, he's in The Firm. 2 years before, he's in The Few Good Men. So he is definitely...
So he's doing the drama bits at this point in his career, right?
Right, and he's trying new stuff, and he's working with big directors, and he's...
he hasn't gone complete action hero yet.
No.
Right.
No.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Okay.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I am.
But he both two rising stars. Still... Like he's a year or two away from the Jerry Maguire, 2 years away from Mission Impossible. Have you ever heard of that show movie?
Mm-mm. Sounds difficult.
Impossible. It's very difficult. Good. That's why he only could do one movie. He only did one of those.
Only one.
Dead Reckoning. And he also jumped on Oprah's couch in 2005.
Yeah, he got a weirdo.
He got weirdo. So unlike, Brad never got weird necessarily.
And he married Angelina Jolie.
I mean, I would have if I had the opportunity.
She's pretty weirdo.
I don't know her personally, so I can't comment.
Oh, I do. Let me tell you, she's weirdo.
Okay, I still would have married her. But Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise did have a little bit of like peaks and valleys. He was in a valley for a bit, but now he's back on top.
Nice. Super top.
Super Maverick top.
And
Kirsten Dunst is in this. She plays Claudia. She
you got to get that right. Kirsten and Kristen's don't like being mixed up. Right. Come on.
Sorry, Kristen.
I know, it's a simple swap. Swippy swap.
Sorry, Kirsten's of the world. Kirsten Dunst, 12 years old at the time. Was doing some TV before that.
Anything of this caliber, would you say? No,
Oh, have you ever seen The Bonfire of the Vanities?
No.
Vanities?
No.
Do Vannies and Vanities get upset if I mix up their names?
No. Kristens and Kirstens.
But after this, her star continues to rise.
You're having a hard time speaking today.
Sean and I had a late night last night.
Yeah.
We partied hard. 2 a.m. was when I got hit the
Russ bed. Russ had an improv show last night. It was fabulous.
And Sean did the tech.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, it didn't cut out halfway through like our podcast does sometimes.
Can't win them all. But the sound effects are the same, actually.
Pretty much.
So if you're a podcast listener and a show watcher,
I've heard that before.
You'll notice some consistent sound effects.
Yep. Christian Slater's in this movie.
Yeah, and I was a big Christian Slater fan back in the day. I remember really enjoying him. Heathers and such.
He's good, but he's good at playing Christian Slater, right. I find, right?
He is Christian Slater.
Yeah, he's just Christian Slater all the time.
Yeah, which is good.
I don't think he's much of a character actor.
No. Definitely not. Not like, Brad Pitt and Cruise can be.
Yeah.
I've never seen Christian Slater play anything but himself. He plays Malloy. And have you seen the show Dr. Robot? Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. A couple of the early episodes, yeah.
Dr. Robot, paging Dr. Robot.
The guy from 30 Coins, his twin brother, is plays like a hacker. Rami Malek.
The twin brother of the guy in 30 Coins,
Rami Malek. Antonio Banderas.
You've seen a little bit about it? Antonio Banderas plays Armand. He's in this movie as well. Previous to this, he did Philadelphia.
He was in Philadelphia?
With Tom Hanks.
I've only seen that once, so I don't remember anything about it.
He was the boyfriend. He didn't have a big role, but he was just like the supportive husband. Maybe husband. I can't remember.
Antonio Banderas.
He's also in a movie called Puss in Boots. Didn't you say that that movie was really good?
So good. No. You liked it too, didn't you?
I didn't see it.
The animated Puss in Boots?
The recent one.
Yeah.
No, with the new animation style.
Oh, dude. Come on. You like Spider-Man, right?
Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you'll like Puss in Boots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mitchell and the Machines?
Mitchell versus the Machines?
Mitchell colon versus colon
I really like machines? That. Yeah, but that's a different style. Puss in Boots. Okay. Puss in Boots follows the kind of
the syphilis?
A syphilis, mm-hmm. same syphilis as the other things.
Here. You know who also is in this for 5 seconds? Thandi Newton.
Mm. Yeah, and she gets an on-screen credit in some of the ones on the main title screen.
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting. I wonder if her part was a lot bigger. What happened? Is something wrong? Everything okay?
Yeah, we got to pause here.
Oh, no.
You ready?
And picking up just where I left off.
And just where we left off. I was preemptive on the...
So either the part, Yvette, that Thandi Newton is playing in was a lot bigger in the script, or she just had a really good agent.
Yeah.
And
she literally had like 2 minutes of screen time and she was like the fifth on screen credit.
But after this, she obviously gets along with Tom Cruise because she's mm-hmm. in Mission Impossible 2.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a little show called Westworld.
Yeah. She gets fully naked in Westworld.
What?
You don't remember that?
I've seen it. She's a Cylon. So that's what Cylons do.
They're all naked in Westworld.
The first season of Westworld's really good.
Mm-hmm. I like the second one as well.
Oh. Okay. I do not like anything after that.
Mm.
And I still watched every single episode before until it got canceled.
Well, you're committed.
I am. Stephen Ray it plays Santiago, and he's a super creepy vampire from Paris.
Yeah.
Big collaborator with Neil Jordan, that's Stephen Ray. He's in such movies as V for Vendetta.
Right on.
The box office, this movie cost $60 million to make. How much of that was Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt's salary? Not as big as it would be now. And it made $224 million worldwide.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Almost quadruple.
I mean, it was a hit.
Yeah.
It's amazing they didn't make another movie.
Only a TV series.
There's a recent.
Yeah. I know.
No, I assume that it has the Vampire Chronicles in the title. They were thinking about franchising. And my theory is that because Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise didn't get along whatsoever,
right?
That they couldn't make
it. Did they fist fight?
They fist fight. No, I don't think so. But they just, maybe their egos were too big. They just couldn't work together. They just didn't like each other. Maybe Tom Cruise didn't like Brad Pitt. And that's silly because he should have. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't see.
Should have cracked his
the
neck.
Long-term bet that Brad Pitt would be. This was nominated for an art direction and original score.
Yeah, I'll give it that for sure.
For Oscars. What does the score sound like of this movie?
It's epic.
It's creepy. Yeah, epic. Epic. It's chilling.
Chilling. And Kirsten Dunst was nominated for a Golden Globe, eh?
Yeah.
Rightfully so. She did fantastic job here.
She did fantastic.
Definitely outshined Brad Pitt.
It wasn't hard back then, I think.
Mm.
Now, give each other a run for their money.
Well, he's gotten his practice, right?
He's got his groove
practice,
on.
Practice.
Pitt got his groove on.
Right?
How Pitt got his groove on. Okay, are you ready?
I am.
Okay, here we go. In a role reversal, Clarence Worley and Dick's roommate Floyd meet in a San Francisco apartment building where Floyd is so high, he believes he's been a vampire for the last 200 years. Floyd, a.k.a. Brad Pitt.
He's so dreamy.
A.k.a. Louis de Lac.
Pardonnez-moi?
Retells the story when he walked away from his inferior heteronormativity.
Bless you. Okay, and what is heteronormativity?
I think it's like the belief that being heterosexual is the normal.
Okay.
I think. So he's like, no way, my kid and parents died. My kid and my wife died. I'm leaving heteronormativity. It's a big word.
Right, to become a
really big word. To become a vampire. And he joined the immortal ranks of the LGBTQ and fabulous vampires with his blood-sucking companion, Lestat.
A.K.A. Maverick.
I want to say his full name.
Okay, sorry. Oh, yeah, I did cut you off.
No, no, it's fine. But it's a great name. He doesn't say his full name, I don't think, but it's Lestat.
Deline Court. Where'd you find that from?
It's just on the Wiki. Hmm. But it's probably because it's an Anne Rice novel. I bet you his full name is in the novel.
Right.
But just not in the movie.
Right.
Who's played by Tom Cruise?
Like
any couple, things aren't perfect. And Lestat adopts a little girl, Claudia, to help give Louis purpose.
Mama.
The plan works and Louis learns to care and love her. Aww. Claudia, unfortunately, is hellbent on splitting Louis and Lestat up, so she does what any normal 30-year-old in a child's body does, makes Louis drink dead twin blood, slits his throat, and feeds him to the alligators. Louis and Claudia head to Europe, but not before burning Louis in a house fire for good measure.
Good riddance.
Intense family super dynamics. Intense.
Oh. Crazy.
I after watching this movie as a child, which we were, how old were we when we, in 1994, we were maybe grade 10.
I saw this movie in Lougheed Mall.
Oh, Lougheed Mall.
The good old Lougheed. You did too. I think we all went and saw this together.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It was a
bunch of us all went.
And then I read the movies. I read the movies back to front, the VHS cover. Mm. I read the novel.
Hmm.
At least one novel.
And
pretty sexual, I think.
Oh.
I don't recall.
Heteronormality sexual?
Normativity sexual? Yeah. Probably not. Vampire. Fabulous vampire sexual. Yeah, I mean, Bram Stoker's Dracula was around this time. If Twilight was in 2008. You know, the vampires have been going strong.
Bram Stoker's Dracula wasn't Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the heteronormality left behind as compared to this one?
Yeah. Right. Yes. A little bit
that
more.
That one was very heterosexual.
That was more hetero.
Yeah.
This one was more.
Lots of guy on girl action in that one. This one's more guy on guy action.
And it's very, but it's
no
very.
No wonder you picked it.
It's very, it's not in your face though, because I think I could see this like in the 90s when they were trying to develop this. I'm sure like the studio was like, oh, I don't think people are going to like this.
Yeah, people weren't ready to accept this kind of thing
yet. And I think they had to keep it subtle in order to get it past like the studio. And I think there was even parts where they were rewriting scripts where there was a little bit more heteronormativity to it. But no, I think Anne Rice was pretty pleased that they kept the kind of like the more the sexuality in the gray, which is I think the intention of the vampires.
I've got a question here. Kay. You know, have Tom and Brad Pitt worked together since, but you said they didn't get along. So yeah, I guess that answer is no.
Yeah, they didn't get along.
Did you find out why they didn't get along? It was just a clash of the egos.
I mean, I would guess it was clash of the egos based on like who they are now. But supposedly Brad Pitt didn't wear deodorant, so he smelled.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all natural.
I heard he like doesn't shower either. He uses like wet naps. That's gross. I mean,
like all Saul Goodman.
Oh
yeah.
I don't know.
He's a lawyer working out of his car, and sometimes he goes from like one job to the next and he has to like shower with wet naps.
Great.
Better call Saul.
What a waste. What do you think's more of a waste, having shower, like waste of water or waste of like
wet naps?
Yeah. Like garbage with the wet naps.
I would say
environmentally destructive.
The wet naps, I guess.
Yeah.
Because technically you could.
So Brad's trying to be all like super enviro guy, but yet I think he's causing more of a problem than not. He
maybe they're biodegradable wet naps.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He
lives in California. Maybe there's not a lot of maybe not a lot of water out there.
Hmm.
A lot of brooding from Brad Pitt.
I like the narration in this movie, the back and forth. It's done well.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's done well in this movie. I mean, there's a few things, but there's no like dissolve or dip to black. They just really like hard cut it back to Christian Slater and Brad Pitt and then back to the real time. It's well done.
Yeah.
I gave it points for editing for that. For sure.
You liked it.
Yeah.
You would know. Brad Pitt is really famous for eating on screen and Tom Cruise is really famous for running on screen, but right. I don't think there was much of either.
No.
Well, I guess Tom Cruise ate a lot. And by eating, he...
Oh, wait. No.
Yeah, that's what
that's
he did.
That's
I'm
it.
Glad we practiced that.
He sucked the blood.
Okay, the rules of the Anne Rice vampire are not consistent with the rules of other vampires.
Right. You have to have long... long hair.
You have to brood.
Right.
You have to
play the piano.
Okay. You have to. Well, here's things that don't really hurt vampires in Anne Rice's book. Crosses and stakes.
Crucifixes. Quite fond of crucifixes.
I'm quite fond of crucifixes.
I'm difficulty talking with these teeth in the whole movie.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. The it sounded teeth. Like it.
And yeah, Brad Pitt was quite uncomfortable because of the makeup and the he had to wear like what are these things called?
Oh, contact lenses.
Yeah, for his eyes. So I think both, and I think also Tom Cruise had to be in the makeup chair quite a lot, especially right. when Lestat got old and decrepit and damaged. So, you know, I think it was just a very uncomfortable shoot.
Right. I think it really comes through, too, in a lot of the scenes. You can tell, right. like, Brad Pitt's given quite a lackluster performance this entire movie. Everybody, I find, is outshining Brad Pitt. And right. He's almost just...
But maybe that's what the role calls for.
I guess so. He's just the person that brings everyone else together, right? Right.
And because he's more of a character actor, Pitt does more better when he's like actually like a fun character.
Right. And whereas Louis is just kind of exactly almost a narrator.
You need a Christian Slater for Louis because he just is who he is.
Right.
So we should have switched the roles. Brad be the interviewer. Christian Slater be Louis. I think Christian Slater was replacing River Phoenix. You know what happened to River Phoenix?
Yeah, he OD'd.
Lestat drinks dead blood, gets his throat split, and is eaten by an alligator, and he's burned by a house fire, and he's still okay.
Yeah, like, so, how long did it take him to get back there? It didn't take him too long, did it? A couple weeks? A week?
Yeah, a couple weeks. I mean, they were just planning to get on a boat to go to Europe. I mean, right. How long does that take? Maybe months back then. I'm not sure. So it's not the same. Like, I just feel like if they really want to, maybe only we heard that. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
We heard a noise from the computer. The computer's alive.
Bing, bing.
AI. Mm. Any other thoughts from you?
I was trying to think of this too, and I think that the answer is no, but Tom Cruise has never worked with Quentin Tarantino either, has he?
Interesting.
I don't know why I thought about that, but I think because Brad's had a bit of a run with Quentin now. Oh, no, he's only done the one with...
No, he's done Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
The question is, has Tom Cruise worked with Quentin Tarantino? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He's only got one movie left. Hmm. And do you know what Quentin Tarantino's new movie is about?
Star Trek rated R.
He's going to do the third Star Trek movie. No, the fourth Star Trek movie. No, it's not. He's doing like a movie about like a film critic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that's his last movie, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, he says though after 10 he's going to quit, but he says he's not going to stop creating.
Yeah, I think
he's
going to start
writing books and stuff like that. Oh. I like the little subtleties that they did in this movie to show that people, you know, were vampires and stuff like that. One of the little things was when Tom Cruise was closing the coffin over Louis, he just used one hand to move this really heavy stone coffin lid. They did little things like that, and for the time I really liked the transition from human to vampire. It was really subtle, but it was done really tasteful, and I think that visual effect really stood up.
Natural effects versus what we see now in all of our 2023 films, like they have to like big wide shots of the vampire using their hands like they're using the force and moving huge machinery, and it's just like it kind of is overwhelming and overdone. But really all you need is just a little slide of the coffin top.
Yeah. Cheating. Or when Brad Pitt transitioned into a vampire, he just you saw just really subtly his teeth grow and his skin whitened, and then he took a breath and his eyes transitioned too. It was cool.
Yeah. Let's keep our special effects subtle, everybody, Hollywood. Like, we're learning the wrong lesson here. Hence Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm. Was that Quantumania? Is that Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania? I tried to watch it.
We talked about this, I think, two
podcasts ago. But now I've given it a chance as well. And
how far? I think I got 15 minutes. How far did you get?
I got a little bit further. I think I maybe got half an hour.
As soon as they got to the micro universe and started talking to all the creatures, I was out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got a little bit further. They met Bill Murray. I saw the part with Bill Murray, and then I kind of stopped. Mm. It was like, hey, this place looks like crap, and then take us seriously at the same time.
Right.
Like, just maybe if they had more fun with it, I'm not quite sure.
Right.
But it was not interesting.
I felt that this movie was kind of light a bit with all the killings and stuff like that. But then when they did that one sex worker in, I think they were in, pronounce it correct for me.
Paris.
No. New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Not New Orleans. New Orleans.
New Orleans. Anyways, when they were in New Orleans, just her death scene was pretty harsh to me watching it.
When they were on the couch?
Yeah. And he bit her boob. Ooh. And she's just all like kind of in the moment, and then realized her boob was bleeding, and then she started to freak out.
My boob is bleeding.
And then they just kind of toyed with her like as she died and arguing. I just thought it was really cold and harsh. It was just
Remember when Alyssa Milano was a vampire?
Alyssa Milano?
Yeah.
Exactly. No. In what?
I don't even but as a kid, pre-internet,
that's what
you
used to whack off to?
I don't know. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying
no, I just did.
I'm saying that there is a movie with Alyssa Milano where she's a vampire. That's all.
And it just etched
a
memory.
It just etched a memory. And so as soon as you start talking about biting boobs, that's what came to my mind.
Again, I've got a note here. You know, Brad just doesn't seem to fit the time era. He's not embracing the character. Again, I think it's really, now that you mentioned he didn't enjoy making this movie, I think it's very evident. And, you know, especially with all my notes about how everybody seems to be outshining him, you know, on the screen. One thing I thought was a bit of a role reversal. You know, in this day and age, I think Brad would be considered the dramatic actor, and Tom's obviously gone the way of the action hero. But, you know, back in this day, you know, I think as far as dramatic acting's concerned, especially in this movie, Tom's completely blowing Brad out of the water.
You can't handle the truth.
No, man.
Yeah, no, of course. Like, Tom Cruise was, a little bit well-known at that part for his parts, his lead player parts.
Right.
I think you're on something here. Louis and Claudia's European vacation result in zero vampires.
Looking for Dracula.
Do you know that song?
No.
Looking for Dracula, looking for Dracula, and I'm not afraid.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not afraid.
And then he runs into, what's this? A bridge, can't go around
over it. Can't go under it, can't go around it.
So they find no vampires in their search of the European vacation, but they end up in Paris, where Louis meets totally chill Santiago and heartthrob Armand.
There's just so many hot guys in this movie.
Armand promises Louis everything Lestat couldn't provide him, but as they say in Kentucky, never trust the French.
You say that in Kentucky?
I mean, they should. Claudia is killed by a vampire comedy improv troupe, and Louis gets the frack out of Europe.
There are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese.
Louis tracks Lestat by his smell and refuses his offer of getting back together. Back in the 1990s, Louis concludes his story with Christian Slater, and Christian is all like,
make me a vampire, want to live forever, bite me.
And Louis's all like,
didn't you listen to anything I was saying?
And Kristen's like,
no, I want to drawing penises. Come on, man, it was a really long story.
And Louis gets mad. And Mr. Slater takes off in a super cool convertible. And the set drops in to give Christian Slater the choice he never had.
I will give you the choice I never had.
Claudia, you have been a very, very naughty girl.
I forgot that Claudia dies. Like, I didn't remember that happened.
Yeah, man, UV ray exposure is a son of a bitch.
Yeah, so that's true. Vampires in Anne Rice's book and in regular life can't deal with sunlight.
No, I think that's the main stint.
Hence the nighttime.
Yeah, chill. They're the lovers of the night, workers of the evening, ladies of the night. Isn't that it?
I don't know where. You deserve an applause.
I did. I took it.
I think Stephen Ray does a great job. Mm-hmm. Like that whole coven of vampires are creepy as.
Yeah, especially when he like kills Claudia and her sort of makeshift mommy that she quickly makes, who lasts, what, 30 seconds as a vampire?
She seemed like a nice lady.
And then Armand releases Louis from the tomb, the brick tomb that they put him in alive. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Stephen Ray's just standing there. He's kind of like,
Yeah.
It gives him like the coldest sort of shit eating grin. Yeah.
Which makes sense if you've like been around for like hundreds of years, just like, whatever, man.
Their fight was so anticlimactic, though. He's just like, you know, on one side, and then he swoops around, you know, and then he's like, and then, you know, Tom or Louis, you know, slices him in half or whatever. But
yeah.
That would have liked to seen a little bit more of a struggle between those two.
I don't know. But again, it's just like, that's what we get all the time now with like these major action sequences and like all these freaking modern overkill fight scenes. Like, let's just get to the point.
Okay. I guess it is more of a story than an action movie, right? So
it's a love story.
Right. A lot of blood in this movie,
Well, that's how vampires survive. Mm. It's the life blood of vampires.
Some scenes were difficult for me to watch.
Yeah.
Well, like, just the blood seems to get to me a little bit. Yeah.
If you had to kill an animal, if you had to eat animals instead of humans, which animals would you eat? Would you try to rid
frogs?
You go for frogs.
Alligator.
Oh, interesting. Because you were in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
In Kentucky. A lot of beautiful women in this movie. A lot of beautiful men, a lot of beautiful women.
Just beauty.
Like I think you mentioned.
And a bit of a crisscross between the two of them too, right? That you don't know. It's like, is that a woman or a man?
Oh,
is that a man or a woman?
Is that a character in the movie? You didn't know if they, them. I don't know.
Yeah. The when they were, what's the word? Courting the old lady and her little.
Her companion, her manion, assistant.
Her little manion.
Yeah. I would assume that was an
well, yeah, but he kind of straddled the line between.
Sure, but that's the Renaissance feel of like all men I think would wear wigs and put makeup on. That was kind of the times, right?
Exactly.
That showed status. That was like a stat, like, you know, I've got money because I can do that. And if you didn't have
long
money,
curly hair,
you have a red neck and dirt on your feet,
right? Now you would just get kicked off the sky train for wearing something like that, right?
I don't know. I don't ride the SkyTrain, but I wouldn't.
What do you ride?
I ride Brad Pitt. and Angelina Jolie.
At the same time?
Sure. I don't know. Any other thoughts from you?
You wait your turn. I say that to this day all the time, and I don't think anybody knows. That's a quote I've taken from this movie forever. When they're doing they're watching the vampire theater for the first time. There's a lady, when they're sacrificing that one girl, there's a lady in the audience who stands up. She says, take me.
Oh, yes.
And he's you wait your turn. Yeah. I still say that all the time. And I think people give me kind of the side eye, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like when I say, sometimes I doubt your commitment for Sparkle Motion.
I know what you're talking about.
And it's such like a throwaway line in Donnie Darko too. Like, it's just like, these aren't like, I can't quit you lines. Like, these are like some real deep cuts. Not a bad movie.
Not bad. I didn't buy, you know,
that there's vampires?
No. I know the it's a stretch with the whole story in itself being vampires, but still the end with Lestat sort of just sitting, not dying, but just half alive. Still sitting in the same house, 200 somewhat years later. I just didn't buy it. You know, for a guy that ripped himself out of that swamp within a week, he's got that drive to live and get revenge and all that. I couldn't see him just getting by, you know, half dead in this house for I think he would have recovered.
Do you think he was just being dramatic?
He would have recovered by then. And then he's all like, oh, what is this spotlight? You know, like he's grown up.
It
throughout
is,
the years and experienced all this, but yet, you know, artificial light was foreign to him all of a sudden.
I don't think it was foreign, but I think he was just being moody. It is a big contradiction.
I thought it was a bit of a stretch compared to his character earlier.
Or even 10 minutes later when he drops in on Christian Slater in the car, he seems to be full of life.
Well,
again,
exactly. So what? For 200 years, he's just kicking it, and then all of a sudden, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
So That's what I didn't believe.
I think he was just maybe he was making a scene for Louis, and he wanted Louis to be like taken back. So he was like, "Oh, Louis, I'm nothing without you. Please, I need you." And then so Louis, you
think maybe
like,
he wasn't that helpless.
Maybe he was just, you know, making a scene. He's like trying to create a narrative. It wasn't truthful.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. Or it was just this. Yeah, I think that's maybe a little bit of a plot hole.
Yeah, and I think it was clear they were going to maybe do some sort of a sequel or chronicle with this. With the way that it ended.
I would assume so. Yeah. Like everybody was still kicking it. They could have brought them all back for another one. They made a lot of money, but the two stars just didn't get along. I assume that, and you know,
it's fair enough. But you know, it stood alone on its own too. You know, it wasn't sort of like, you know, even though I didn't maybe like the ending, you know, it ended, right? Yeah. You know, like it wrapped itself up for the most part, right? Yeah. So yeah.
So you want to rate this?
Let's rate it.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
I give it a 3.
Wait. Okay. You always got to explain it. Pretend no one's listened to this before.
So thank you for listening if you've never listened to this before. This is the part where we rate the movie we just watched. We can rate it a 5. We can do 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 JARPs. And I give it a 3 because it didn't hold me as much as I did. I kind of actually had to do a couple different watches, different sits. I enjoyed Tom Cruise's performance. I think he's really going to go places. and I thought the practical effects were good. It was a nice, refreshing use of practical effects. Just overall just didn't hold me as much as I thought it would.
Yeah, I thought I was going to like this movie a lot more than I actually did. Mm-hmm. Again, I gave it a 3 as well. We'll match there just a little bit better than a meh.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this here.
Okay. How do you know when Sean's reading something?
Yeah, because I just get right prompt. I did not enjoy this movie as much as I thought I would. The biggest standouts to me were the supporting cast of Tom Cruise and Kirsten Dunst.
Yay.
Brad Pitt was at his worst, and his disenjoyment with making the movie is clearly front and center with all the supporting cast upstaging him along the way.
Brad Pitt was at his worst?
I think so.
I mean, okay.
Well, for a guy that's headlining this movie, he did a piss poor job. That's our first swear this whole show.
Wow. And he said piss. I mean, I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know if he is leading, I guess. Yeah, he's the lead.
Yeah, he's the main guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think he's just bland.
He did like the worst acting out of everybody.
Yeah, I think he's just.
I do.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Why are you getting mad about that?
Because.
Why are you being so defensive about Brad? Because
Brad and Angelina and me.
Right, you're supposed
sworn to protect each other.
Right, you and your crazy three ways.
My thruple. What were we talking about that last time?
Schwacket.
My sweater jacket. Yeah. Okay, I think that's good.
Sounds good. Are you
good? This is called star. This is what it's called, and it's called stargazing. Hmm. Where we look up into the stars and see and talk about all the things that we're interested in, like other films or television shows or magazines or games like Tears of the Kingdom. I was
Russ is playing the new Zelda.
Well, Sean was setting up today.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Showing me how it goes. Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Cool.
Anything else, Sean? What do you...
You got nothing down, do you?
Well, I kept on wanting to talk about the idea of... how people now watch TV or movies with their phone with them. Like if they
they're paying half attention to the movie and half attention to the phone. Right.
And I thought it was just like, you know, maybe a thing that my wife did that I was like, oh, I don't know why she just like scrolls Facebook Marketplace the whole time we're watching this movie. She doesn't seem to be I don't do that. I watch movie, but I think it's actually more common than I gave it credit for.
I think it is too.
And I think that's weird.
I don't
is
like
this like
it.
Old man Russ talking? I don't do that at all. Like I don't even do that. Like that would be like against, like it would be against my value system.
I don't get mad at my wife, but when she does it and when I'm watching a show, I'm just like, okay, well, should we put on something else then that you want to watch?
Like, I think she's totally checked out. That's the same thing. Like, yeah. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter anymore. Like I don't pause it when she leaves the room because she hasn't been watching the movie for the last 20 minutes anyways.
Yeah.
So, but I think
you're on your own.
Yeah, people do that. People, and I don't get it.
Mm.
Is this just the world we live in now?
I think just everyone's attention is just totally gone downhill.
But I was listening to like a movie podcast where the reviewers, who I quite like, I think they're really good. And, but they're talking about how they got, they were, you know, talking about a movie and then they just said, well, they were just getting distracted by their phone. I'm like, these are like professionals.
Well, what do they do in the theater then, you know?
And they were watching a movie for the first time with their phone with them. I'm like, what is going on? Well, what is the world coming to?
When you watch a movie in the theater, you got to watch it without your phone on.
Yes. And but you know, because I think with these critics, they get screeners all the time. So they're able to. Right. And maybe this is more for TV than necessary movies where they get shit mailed to them and they get to watch it from their home. And they're still doing 100 things on their, you know, on their phone. That doesn't make sense. Old man Russ says it's wrong.
It is
wrong. We need to stop this. We need to start a
give it your full attention campaign. Or change it.
Hashtag put the phone down.
One or the other. Hashtag put the phone down.
Is I mean driving.
Hashtag phone down.
Hashtag phone down.
Phone down. Movie up.
That's all I got.
There we go. I've been watching Dave. I'm on finished season. I'm on
season three.
Episode nine. Episode nine.
And is it getting better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of, it's funny. I was talking to a guy at work and he's like, yeah, what are you thinking of Dave this year? I was like, oh yeah, it's really good. Except I don't find it progressing as much as the last season. And then episode nine hit and I totally ate all my words.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode nine is like everything kind of that was going through this whole season.
Comes together.
Sort of. And it sort of comes to a major kind of climax. And I'm kind of like, okay, that's where they were leading us to.
And I haven't seen any of season three yet because it hasn't dropped on Disney Plus yet.
Right. Well, the last, remember I remember you saying that they're trying to play with themes and
per
stuff
episode?
Like that. Yeah. And I could definitely tell that this last episode nine was themed after The Social Network.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Or David Fincher kind of thing. But it had a very Social Network kind of feel to it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I watched a really good Afghanistan war movie by Guy Ritchie called The Covenant with our boy Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
Is that on Netflix? Where is that?
No.
Hmm.
You got to sail the high seas for that one.
Oh,
it's really good.
Interesting.
Guy Ritchie.
That's a new one.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it's a Guy Ritchie movie.
Right.
So it doesn't follow.
Because everyone's speaking it comprehensible English.
Yeah. And freeze frames and blah, 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 blah. But no, it's really good about like kind of an Afghanistan special forces unit. And there's sort of this relationship with the leader of this unit and they're a local translator.
Mm.
And they get into a bunch of stuff.
It's based on a true story?
It sounds like it could be.
This was recently in the theaters.
Yeah.
That's why it's new. That's why it's not streaming.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Right. Yes. I think I've seen it.
After The Predator.
He did Hot Ones, I think, because he was advertising, promoting that film.
Oh, okay. Guy Ritchie?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay.
Do you watch The Hot Ones?
I see little clips on the internet.
I like to watch them all. Oh, Jason Sudeikis came out recently.
Okay.
I like watching people eat wings. Is that weird?
Kind of.
Yeah, I love chicken wings.
Well, not really because you're not the only one that channel's taken off, right? So obviously there's a lot of people that feel the same as you.
I don't know. It's something about eating chicken wings.
I went and watched The Predator 2.
With
Danny Glover, Murtaugh.
Because you were trying to get through it last time.
Yeah, right. I'd started it, and then so I went and finished it. Yeah, and then I went back and watched The Running Man. Lately,
with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's okay. It was okay.
I won't watch that either.
Yeah. It's funny because it was rated R back in the day, and I was watching. I was like, man, this thing would probably only be rated PG-13 now these days.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's a real Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3.
Yeah. And then I've been watching a lot of really crappy old 80 movies. I don't know why. I watched the old Stephen King actually directed an old Emilio Estevez movie, Maximum Overdrive, where the trucks, there's a comet.
Are alive?
Yeah.
Like Christine?
There's a comet that passes by the Earth and it kind of stays within the atmosphere for a week and it possesses all like cars and electronics and shit like
and
that.
And is Christine Queen?
Who's that?
Christine is Stephen King's
novel
about a car that's alive. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, yeah. You went and saw that, right?
I'm such an idiot. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah. I want to take Stevie to go see it.
Yeah. And has she seen one and two?
She's seen one.
Okay. Well, I think watch two. And then watch Endgame and Infinity Wars. Okay. And then watch. No, you don't have to watch anyone, but I quite liked it. Oh. I like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice.
I'm a defender.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really.
I heard it gets pretty harsh with some of the rocket stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that.
I'd like to rewatch it actually, but it's quite good.
I'll let you know when I go and if you want to join us.
Yeah, thank you.
You took the girls, right?
Yes, I took the girls.
And they were. So you think it'd be okay?
They were, I mean,
I won't take Jesse.
Your older one's pretty mature, so I think she'd be fine, but they were, you know, they were getting upset at certain parts.
Yeah. Well, it's about that time. Do you know what time it is?
Random movie generator trivia game. I don't know. Random movie trivia game.
There, that'll work out much better.
Yeah.
There you go.
This is where we have got, like, I've got this game from a store in British Columbia called London Drugs. And it's kind of like a
trick. Is London Drugs just a British Columbia thing?
I think so, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think it is.
Really? Yeah. You don't think it's in all of the rest of Canada?
I mean, it might be in Alberta, but I think it's just a Western Canada thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, London Drugs.
London Drugs. That's why I always like to promote it. Even though London's
in the east.
Even though.
That doesn't make sense.
London is a city in England. Huh. We are everybody. Okay. So we ask four questions each to each other.
Yeah.
Whoever gets the most questions.
Right wins.
Do you want to ask first or do you want me to ask?
Okay. Sure. I'll go first.
Do you have the music ready?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. In what Rob Reiner cult classic does the band's guitar amps go up to 11?
I think that's
Rob Reiner.
Rob Marshall did Little Mermaid. Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap.
Correct.
I had it, and then I tried to make the Little Mermaid joke, and then I almost forgot it.
Correct. One for what us.
Ralph Bakshi cartoon features drugs, sex, and cats? What Ralph Bakshi cartoon features drugs, sex, and cats? Better you than me.
A Cool World?
Yeah, I know. Fritz the Cat.
Oh.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. One for us. Yes.
Oh, man.
It's a great day. It's a great day.
What tough guy in Army of Darkness says good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun?
Bruce Campbell?
Give me his Army of Darkness name.
Oh.
His character name.
There's a fucking TV show with his name. Ash.
There you go.
Jesus. Versus Evil Dead.
All right. 2-0.
What is the setting for Speed 2 Cruise Control? A cruise ship, an airplane, or an RV?
Minivan's not on there anywhere?
No, minivan's not.
Oh, cruise ship. I'm going to say a cruise ship.
Sandra Bullock is in this one, but not Keanu Reeves.
Right. Who takes Keanu Reeves' place?
It's a guy who's not as like cool as Keanu Reeves. He's like a more well-cut, well-manicured. I don't know. Give me three choices.
I don't know. I can see his face, but I can't.
I think he's an actor.
Okay, wait, am I right or wrong on that one?
Yeah, you're right, of course. All right.
Jason Patrick,
okay. That's and so Jason say. Patrick was in one of the Young Guns movies?
Lost Boys.
He was in Lost Boys. I'm like, he was in something with like those guys.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, what the heck? These are way too easy. Who won an Oscar? Who won an Oscar for directing
Bruce Campbell
Platoon?
For Oliver Stone.
That was quick.
That was good.
All right, 3-1.
Because number three is always the Oscar question. So, what independent film won the Best Picture Oscar in 2009? How are you going to get this? Can you remember? What independent film? It's independent. So I don't know if that's going to help you. Won the Best Picture Oscar in 2009. Sorry, man.
Shakespeare in Love?
I mean, why not? I'm going to say Shakespeare in Love was earlier, but I have no way to prove that. Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, dang.
Maybe Shakespeare in Love was late. Who knows?
Okay, wait. You've had three. I've got one. I think you've won already by technicality. But let's keep going.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Ben Affleck.
No. My turn.
Okay.
What did the Candyman have instead of a right hand? A sword, a clamp, or a hook?
a hook?
Russ!
Like a...
Four out of four.
Thank you, everybody. I've never seen the movie Candyman. So I'm glad that's right.
Good job. Okay, let me at least try and redeem
You'll get
myself.
This one. You'll get this one.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Who plays the last man on Earth in I Am Legend?
Oh. Chris Rock.
It's actually a multiple choice.
Chris Rock.
I could give you three choices, but I'm not.
Will Smith.
Yeah. Here, you know what the choices are?
No.
Sean Penn, Christopher Lee, or Will Smith.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, good job, Russell.
Thank you. I won.
Yay.
I won, everybody. Don't necessarily watch Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah. I don't know. I think on my JARP,
keep it in a memory
my
bank.
JARP rater, one of the categories is, would you recommend this to anybody? Right. And I gave it a 2.5 out of 5, meaning like I would shrug my shoulders and be like, you can take it or leave
like
it.
Like it's I mean, if you like vampires, if you like early Tom Cruise.
I think
Cruise
there's better vampire movies than that.
Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Oh, dude, come on. It's that one's the king of the hill, right? Or Lost Boys is pretty good, too.
I don't know. I don't remember it.
Really?
Well, it's pretty good. Of that one. It's Once Bitten. Good. Elisa Milano's vampire
Once
movie.
Once Bitten. Oh, my God.
It's Bitten. It's Bitten.
With Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Tim Curry?
Tim Curry.
Tim
It's like
Carney's.
A Tim Curry, Tim Carey.
Tim Carney's Harney's.
It's Bitten.
One it's week. Bitten.
It's Bitten 1 week since.
All right. I'm still tired from last night. Okay, let's get out of here.
Say, love you, man.
See love you, too.
Bye. I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show.
Which is now. Oh, because it's now.